There's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work that needs to be done in the vineyard of the Lord. And that responsibility goes out not just to the preachers that are out there today, but to each and every individual that proclaims their love for Jesus Christ. Every person that proclaims that they're in love with Christ and that they are a born-again Christian, baptized believer, each and every one of us have a responsibility to the Lord. The title of our lesson this morning, Reach, Teach, and Preach. And as Brother Larry just pointed out to me as well, with those three words, reach, if you'll notice the word each is inside of that, isn't it? If you'll notice the word teach, the word each is inside of that. If you look at the word preach, the word each is inside of that. So each of us have that responsibility to do those three items. Does that make sense? So when we talk about work that needs to be done, there's a whole lot of things that's taking place in our society today that would warrant our lesson this morning. It was just a few days ago that at the funeral home, they had this minister. I'm not going to call him a minister. They had a guy that was speaking there at the service, and I remember they was very concerned, or the family was concerned, because the mother had never been baptized, and they was talking to him about it, and he went on to tell them, hey, I don't think you have anything to worry about. And the daughter kept saying, the daughter of the mother who passed away kept saying, yeah, but everything I've ever read in the Bible says that you must be baptized to be able to go to heaven, and my mother was never baptized. And he stood in front of all of those people and talked about that, and then he uttered these words and said, well, the thief on the cross was never baptized. I wanted so badly to just be able to go and interrupt that funeral. And Paula said, normally there's nothing that can control your mouth, but I guess this time I got lucky. I wanted to be able to walk up front and be able to tell them, yes, but Christ had not died yet. The new law was not fully in effect. But the problem that I'm having with all of that is not what the Scripture says. Amen? So I began to think, you know what? Someone is calling themselves a preacher, misleading individuals, just trying to comfort the ears and the hearts of those that were already hurting. Let me tell you something. I promise you this. The truth will convict you, but the truth will comfort you. Do you understand that? It will convict us, but it will bring comfort. Knowing where we are headed, if we're not practicing the truth, is going to bring a lot of thought into our mind and a lot of destruction forever and ever. Amen. But knowing the truth, I can be comforted knowing that no matter what we go through upon the face of this earth, that there's a bigger and brighter day coming, isn't it? There is sunshine on the horizon. There is sunshine breaking through the clouds. We know that this storm that we're in today, it's not going to last forever. And those storms can range in a wide variety of things. It can be turmoil. It can be financial setback. It can be family problems. It can be health issues. It can be a plethora of things that could take place in that. But I want you to know, God wants us all to know, that there are brighter days ahead. But right now, we've got a task. And the task is that we need to reach out, we need to teach, and we need to preach. And the reason I'm bringing that out is because, sadly, there's not enough preachers preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? There's a lot of preachers out there preaching things that people just want to hear. They want so badly to build the numbers in the pews that perhaps they're willing to compromise the integrity of the Scriptures. I'm not willing to do that. Maybe it's just me and Heather Cochran and Chris sitting in here. If that's all we've got, that's all we've got. But I'm still not going to intentionally compromise the teachings of God's Word. I don't have that authority, neither do you. Confirm that with an amen. All right, so as we talk about the work that needs to be done, we know that there are souls that need to be saved. We know there are folks out in the world today that need to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Not something, Jerry, that's been added to, not something that's been perverted, not something that's been taken away from, but James Newberry, they need to hear the true, don't they? The true gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of people to reach. We've got a lot of our young people that need to be reached today. We've got a lot of middle-aged and elderly. We've got preachers. We've got elders. We've got deacons. We've got song leaders. We've got door greeters. We've got maintenance people, all affiliated with the Lord's church that still need to be reached today. There's a lot of people today just not taking the Lord and His work serious enough. How do we know that? Look at the people around us. Look at some of the people in my own house. Look at me when I mess it up from time to time. Look at the number of people today that put Christ Jesus on. Make that confession in the presence of a witness. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. Putting Christ on in baptism and live a life like hell throughout the week. Just go through and think nothing about it. make the devil happy, say whatever you want to say, do whatever you want to do, live as you want to live. Brothers and sisters, let's get right down to it. That ain't going to work. Amen? So what we've got to do is we've got to reach out, we have got to teach, and we've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot sugarcoat it. We can't add to it. We can't take it away. We can't gloss it over. We cannot build a facade around it until we start reaching out and teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord's church will be hurt. Do you understand that? So we want to make certain that in our lives today that we are doing what the Lord's calling us to do. In order for you and me to fulfill the commandment of Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where the Bible says, go and make disciples of all of the... Go make disciples of all of the nations. And he says how to do that. He says to baptize them. And then after that, he said to teach them. Isn't that right? Teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. How long? Even to the end of age. So there is work to be done in that of winning over folks for the Lord's church. Not only do you and I have a responsibility to lead those lost individuals back to or to Jesus Christ, but what about the ones that have erred from the truth? What about the individuals that has professed their belief in Christ, been baptized into Jesus, made that confession, walked up and said, professed, I am a child of the Most High God, but once again has turned away from the church? Do we have a responsibility to reach out, to teach, and to preach them as well? Two people said yes. Do we have that responsibility? Absolutely. So I want to make sure that I'm driving that point home. We cannot, brothers and sisters, just let it go. We've got a responsibility to teach. I like what the scripture talks about on these individuals that leave the fold of safety. I love what the Lord says that you and I are to do about bringing them back. Would you go over to James chapter 5 and look with me, 19 and 20. Friends, listen to me. The Lord needs faithful soldiers, doesn't he? He needs them in his army. He needs us not to forget those that have erred from the truth and walked away from the fold of safety. James chapter 5, 19 and 20. The Bible says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, watch this, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from what? And cover a multitude, the Bible says, of sin. It is a good thing when we reach out and we teach out and we preach out. Amen? That, Chris, is what it's all about. So listen, we know that there are classes to teach. We know there are sermons to preach and there's lost souls to teach and reach. I want us to make sure we stick with that. So it brings it to this. As a congregation of God's people, as a group of the Lord's people meeting here at James Avenue Church of Christ, are we as a congregation of Lord's people willing to do what God needs done? Are we willing to deny ourselves, taking up our cross daily and following Jesus? In Matthew chapter 16, down in verse 24, God's word says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? And then what? And follow him. So are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take up that cross? You know, that cross sometimes, and I've said it before from this pulpit, sometimes that cross is very heavy. When you have to go to someone and correct them for their error, sometimes that cross is very heavy, isn't it? When you have to go to someone that you know is going against the will of God and going against the church and bringing reproach upon themselves and reproach upon the church, it's a heavy cross to bear to have to try to talk to them. But remember what the scripture says. If we can save a soul from hell, it's worth it. Amen? All right. Matthew 6, verse 33, very familiar passage of scripture. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and all of these things shall be what? Very good, Amy. All these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things we need to be that minister. The things we need to be that evangelist. The things we need that God will provide for us to do what he is calling us to do. So again, there's a lot of work to be done. God is looking for workers in his vineyard. He needs people that are very, very serious about their salvation and the salvation of others. I want us to go back to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22. We're going to look at two verses, verses 29 and 30. And I think about how sad it was, that, and not much has changed from many years ago. I look back at the book of Ezekiel and I see where God looked upon mankind for some workers just to make a wall. And as the Bible says, to stand as a gap before the Lord. And sadly, the Bible says not one of them, not one could be found. I hope and pray that's not what he sees here. I hope and pray that when he looks into our life and looking into the congregation here at JA, that he's not finding what he found here. Let's take a look. Ezekiel 22, look at 29-30. All found? The people of the land have used oppressions. They've committed robbery, mistreated the poor and the needy, and they wrongfully oppress even who? The stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Now watch this next part. But I found, finish it. Thank you, Heather. I found no one. When he looks at us today, and he sees someone that needs to fill the gap between what's going on today in our world, are we willing to do that? When he looks at us in our life, is Jerry Ladd willing to fill the gap? Is Larry, is Jerry, is Amy, is Mary, are we willing to fill the gap that God is looking for? We may verbally say, oh yes, we're willing, but are we? What are we doing during the week that shows that? What are we doing with our own families? What are we doing with our neighbors? What are we doing with our co-workers? What are we doing with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we filling in the gap? Reach, teach, and what? Preach. Each one of those has the word each in it. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we're going to look at 14 through 16. And I want us to see that God has limited his work, as I said before, to earthly vessels. Look how God invested in the Apostle Paul. I like the way he talks about this. And he invested him as an evangelist, if I may. Romans 1, look at 14 through 16. Romans chapter 1, 14 through 16. The scripture says, I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to what? He says, I'm ready to preach. And what's he going to preach? Give me the next two words. He's ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for who else? For the Greek. Go ahead and go 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? I knew I better get that passage in there because Harvey at the end of the service would go, Jerry, you should have went to that next verse. All right, so look at what's going on with there. Paul was one that was willing to work. Did he go on some missionary journeys? He went on several. Was Paul willing to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Jesus? Absolutely. We see all throughout the Bible individuals that was willing to reach, teach, and to preach. God needs men like Philip when he went and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch over in Acts chapter 8, 26 through 39. God needs men like a fellow named Peter that was sent to a guy named Cornelius. Anybody ever heard of Cornelius over in Acts chapter 10? He was sent to him to reach the lost Cornelius. He needs people like Stephen that we often refer to as Stephen the martyr over in Acts chapter 7, around 59 and 60. How he gave his life in service trying to build the church. God needs folks that love him and will do what he commands them to do, as seen in John 14, 15. Heather, you remember what that says? If you love me, very good. If you love me, keep my commandments. So let you and I take a look very quickly. Take a look at about two or three points that I want us to consider. If we talk about the title of our lesson, Reach, Teach, and Preach. Here's the first one. God needs people who can and will work for the Lord. Who can and will work for the Lord. Here's why I say that. There's a lot of people that can work for the Lord, but won't. Is that fair? Is that a fair assumption? Is it? All right. So I just want to remind all of us, if we are capable and we know how to work for the cause of Jesus Christ, then you and I certainly should be doing that. As a worker for the Lord, you and I must have a willing heart, a desire to do what God's calling us to do. We saw that over in Luke 9, verse 23. when he talked to his disciples again, you remember what he said? If you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Isn't that what he said? All right, so God is calling, seriously, folks, he's calling us into action. We've been listening. We've been involved in the studies. We've been studying about it. We've looked at the history. We've looked at it currently. We know what's going to happen in the future as far as what the Bible reveals to us. But the Bible now, today, is calling us to put it into action, isn't he? It is time to get it rolling. We've already built the car. It's built. It's full of gasoline. It's got good tires on it. The radio works, Paula. We got to make sure everything is good. It's time to get rolling down the road. Are we in agreement with that? So God is calling us to action. It's time today when we go to the restaurant, Jerry, we sit down, invite Casey to the services. When we go to the grocery store, Heather, invite them to the church services. Wherever, when you're talking to the guy who's driving and dropping off the mail or the girl dropping off the mail, invite them to the church service. You remember what we've been saying? Each one, reach one. Say that with me. Each one, reach one. Now we've got to add more. Each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. Each one, preach to one. Because the word each is in every one of that. Isn't that cool, Larry? I'm glad you showed me that. All right. So God is calling us into action. God is calling you and me, and he's telling us these two words, Chase. You ready for it? Get busy. We've all got busy schedules, every one of us. But he wants us and requires us to get busy in his vineyard. There are people in the world today that I'm convinced are Bible scholars. I believe some out in the world today that knows Hebrew, Greek, and maybe they possess degrees in psychology. They may have all of this knowledge, but they're not practicing Christianity. Having all the knowledge of everything that you can know about in the Bible won't get you to heaven, will it? It's putting it into action. It's calling, it's responding to the call of Jesus Christ. Friends, listen, it takes preparation to work for Jesus Christ. It takes endurance to work for Jesus Christ. That's why he said over in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in what? Vain. Very good. Not in vain in the Lord. So he knows, Jesus is telling us, I know it's going to be tough for you to reach one, for you to teach one, and for you to preach to one. It's going to be tough, but you can do it. But we'll never get there if we just keep sitting with our hands folded. Amen? Are y'all all right with this so far? Good. All right. So we remember God needs people, men and women, who can and will work for the Lord. I think about Matthew 5:16, for the people that are shy. Well, I don't like talking to people. I just don't like saying anything. That's fine. You don't have to. You can teach, seriously, you can teach well and never say much at all. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your so shine before men that they may see your glorifying your, which is Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Is that what the Bible says? Bible makes it very clear. Do what you do in the name of the Lord. When we are being faithfully obedient, I got that from Velma. When we are faithfully obedient to the Lord, we are teaching others, aren't we? All right. So make sure, as we conclude, point one, God needs men and women that can and will work for him. Secondly, God needs men and women who will practice what they teach and preach. Isn't that a problem today? We've got far too many people who are not practicing what they preach. My dad, God rest his soul, here even on Father's Day, would do just like this, Chris. You ever let me catch you smoking? You've had it. And he blew Winston's right in my face. So guess what? That's a brand I smoked for many, many years. I don't now. Look, Jerry's trying to get me to put some in my pocket, but I won't. The reality is we've got to what? We got to live it, don't we? We've got to, if we're going to preach it, we've got to live it. Say that with me. If we're going to preach it, we got to live it, don't we? So practice what we preach. Let us all be reminded that there are people on the outside of the fold of safety, people on the outside of the church that's looking in. I can't even begin to tell you just how important it is to make sure that we are practicing Christianity. I don't mean that in a fake way, but we are to fully practice. If I'm right, doctors call it practicing medicine. Is that right? That doesn't mean they're perfect, but they're going to practice and do the best they can. I've heard that lawyers practice law. Is that the same thing? Isn't that right? Don't get me started on that. But the reality is, Christians, we need to be practicing Christianity. Because practice makes what? We've all heard that before. We'll never be perfect here, but we'll be perfect in God's sight. In order for you and me to be effective soul winners of Jesus Christ, we've got to be fully converted ourselves. If we are not practicing what we're preaching, people see it as plastic. It's a huge insult. I heard it myself, and it makes me wake up a little bit more. I was told several years ago, and I use it on other people because I was pouting, said, "Jerry Ladd, you're as plastic as an American Express card." And man, you talking about hurting. Even though I was on fire and wanted to take that person apart, I wouldn't know how. I have to call Dana because I don't know how to fight, but she does. But the reality is, as angry as I was, Bobby, about being told that, it woke me up. It said, this is the sermon I'm preaching. This is what I'm teaching other people. So as angry as I was, Jerry, how much I appreciated that individual saying that. Now, isn't it awesome when someone walks up and says, "Now, what church do you attend? Because I know you go to church somewhere. Are you a minister?" Those are the things. I'm not doing it to get a pat on the back, but we should be, because we are ambassadors of God. We should be recognized. Amen? Yes or no? All right. Got a few over here dozing. So, all right. So make sure that we are practicing what we preach. Let's go with that. So if you are teaching others about the Lord, shouldn't we be involved in study? 2 Timothy 2:15. What's up, y'all? Nobody's answering. Very low. No, you ain't loud enough. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself what? There we go. Very good. Now I can hear you. So now listen to this. If we're teaching others about the command to study, shouldn't we be studying? If we're teaching people about praying, shouldn't we be praying? All right. Very good. If we're teaching others about benevolence and helping people spiritually and physically, James 1:27, shouldn't we be doing that as well? I like it. Very good, Bama. Just don't come up here and preach. But if we're teaching other individuals about drunkenness, about malice, about evil, lies, thievery, illegal drugs, or the use of drugs, you might as well leave those things alone. Amen? You didn't say it that right. Okay. Amen. Okay. So Galatians, thank you, Chase. Galatians 5:19-21. And then listen, God needs people seriously that will practice what they preach. God has enough hypocrites running around here, doesn't he? So he needs people that are very serious about his work and his word. He doesn't need any more. Galatians 5:22-26 will show you what the fruits of the Spirit are. Third point, this lesson will be yours. God needs people. Are y'all ready? Who know how and will learn how to work with God. I know that's a little bit redundant, but he needs people that know how and that will learn how to work with him. There are many things involved in working for the Lord and working with the Lord. There are several things that we must follow if we hope to work with God and to do that effectively. In the book of John, chapter 17:1-3, the Bible talks about how we should know God. I agree, and I hope that you agree today, that in order to work for him, we have to know who he is. Does that make sense? If we're representing God, then we've got to know exactly who he is. We need to be able to tell others about him. Not only should we know God, but we better be willing to listen to him and obey him. I love what the book of Psalm, chapter 85, down in verse 8 says, "I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to what?" There you go. Don't go back to the foolishness of the world. Don't go back to that folly. Don't go back to acting like you don't know. Friends, if we want to work for God and with God, we need to obey his commandments. And we see that clearly over in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. God expects all of us as workers in his vineyard to be sure that we are not walking after the flesh, not living for the world, according to 1 John 2:15-17. The Bible makes it very clear that the world is passing away in the lust of it. And so if you're caught up with the world, you're going to be destroyed with the world, yes? But if you abide in the Father, then you'll live forever and ever. James chapter 4, down in verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity. Very good. Is enmity with God? You make yourself an enemy of Almighty God. If we are going to be effective workers for the Lord, effective workers for God, then we've got to pray daily for wisdom. Amen? Pray for that wisdom and always acknowledge God as superior. As we close, please know that God does need all of us to do these things, to reach, to teach, and to preach. Are we in agreement with that? So hopefully, by just hearing these few little things that we've talked about this week, we can go out and do those things. We've got to reach out to people. I hope we remember the price that was paid for our opportunity for salvation. Remember that it was not free by any shape, form, or fashion. It cost God his only begotten Son. It cost Jesus his physical life. And he did all that because he loves us, Romans 5:8. So the question is this: will you work for God? Will you begin today to be a servant of the Lord in whatever capacity that you can choose? This morning, are you working with God or are you working against God? You have to answer that in your own way. Are you working with him or are you working against him by the lifestyle you're living, by the things that you say, by the things that you do? Our God is a wonderful God and worthy to be praised. Confirm it with an amen. Amen. So let's do all that we can to show God and to show others just how much God means to each and every one of us. Revelation 2:10, God will show us as well. Be faithful unto death, and I, Jesus, will give you the what? Thank you, Teresa. I'll give you the crown of life. He's promising everything to us. He's promising us that home in heaven with God and the heavenly host if we'll just obey him, if we'll just do this, if we'll just reach, teach, and preach, and make sure that we're living a life for him. Let's be sure today that we stick to our commitment to doing what God has called us to do, and again, doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I want to reach out to you. I want to teach you. I want to preach to you. Because I love you, God loves you, this congregation loves you, and we want to share heaven with you. Begging you, don't keep putting Jesus off. Please get things right with your relationship with him. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you've went through those steps to become a Christian, but you turned your back on God already. Immediately turning your back on God. Get it right. Come back. Repent of the sin. Start living for Jesus this day. You may think that this world has a lot to offer. It does. But it pales in comparison to what God has to offer. Amen? So here's what we got to remember. Don't let the world entice you. Don't let the wrong group pull you away from God. Don't let anything, anybody, husband, wife, brother, sister, son, daughter, girlfriend, boyfriend, don't you let anybody get in the way of your relationship with Almighty God. Because come the end of time, they can't save you, only God. Amen? And you're a faithful obedience unto him. If you're not a Christian, why don't you become one today? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, live faithful unto death. Remember that we are a brother's keeper. If you are a Christian and you've wandered from the fold of safety, I don't know what you're waiting on. I really don't. Maybe just like the devil more than what we thought. Maybe love the devil more than you thought. But if you want to get it right, you're invited to come right now. Turn things around. Live for Jesus. If you have a need, come now. Together we stand in